Oh, These Are Real Things by Type 40 Deductions. Read by X-Man Hater. Summary. Wei Ying cries during sex for the first time and doesn't quite know what to think. They keep trying and keep talking and learn a lot about how best to love each other in the process. It's not the first time they sleep together. It's not even the 10th, but somewhere in the late teens. 17, he thinks. Wei Ying likes to keep count, even if he's bad at it. Likes the shapes the numbers form in his mind. Likes the fact that, even if all of this ends, there will have been something to count. Lan Chan makes him count kisses sometimes, too. They both like things to be a little bit more solid than they have been. Wei Ying loves Lan Chan's cruel hands and the stretch and burn of him, like being forced into the shape of something bigger than he is, reaching for magnitude. He thinks that's all it is at first, just like biting your tongue or stubbing your toe, a little pain, a natural sting of tears quickly brushed away. But they keep coming, and it doesn't hurt that much. Even Lan Chan's hands digging into the soft jut of his hips are only bruising, not breaking. They come from somewhere deeper, spilling out of him, like Lan Chan is leaving only room for himself. Wei Ying rubs his face against the pillow, dispelling the damp, and blinks, hard. Behind him, Lan Chan thrusts into him, pace punishing, and fresh tears spring to his eyes. It feels good. It feels good if he doesn't let himself think about it, if he just lets himself feel spread out, fingers splayed on the sheets, all of him reaching, collapsing into a series of infinite points. Another smear of wet on his cheek and his lip trembles. Sex is supposed to make people happy, he thinks, almost angry at the thought. Hormones and endorphins all fizzing in your brain, all sending the right signals. Lan Chan always smiles at him afterwards, easy and simple, like he does it all the time. Just another way his brain has conspired against him then, if he can't even have this. He buries his face in the pillow and wills Lan Chan not to notice. Another thrust, and Wei Ying makes an awful choking sound at the feeling bubbling up inside of him. Precipice edge trembling, and knowing he could fall, he could... Wei Ying. Lan Chan doesn't pull out, but he does stop, his hands patting up Wei Ying's sides. Wei Ying, are you all right? Wei Ying says into the pillow. His voice is rust-tainted, and he doesn't trust it not to break. He hopes the noise sounds chirpy. He thinks he can remember what chirpy sounds like. Wei Ying. Lan Chan reaches for his head, and Wei Ying freezes, will not let him turn it. Lan Chan does pull out then. He moves very slowly, like he hasn't already done exactly what Wei Ying was afraid of. Wei Ying rolls over, watching him through the crook of his elbow. He puts on Wei Ying's basketball shorts, which are too small for him, like he thinks the nakedness of him might be too much. Perhaps it is. Wei Ying doesn't think Lan Chan has ever worn basketball shorts before, but he runs his hands down his thighs, looking vaguely pleased at the way the synthetic silk smooths out under his fingers. He gets back on the bed, sitting up against the headboard, and rests one hand very gently on Wei Ying's back. Wei Ying could stay here, curled in on himself, snail safe and just as silent, until Lan Chan gives up, until Lan Chan's face smooths out, blank and implacable, the way it does when he's protecting himself. Wei Ying doesn't want Lan Chan to have to protect himself. He rolls over and hides his face in Lan Chan's lap instead. Wei Ying. Lan Chan strokes his hair, tucking stray strands behind his ear. Wei Ying feels like sinking sand and wonders which parts of him are already lost, irretrievable. Sweetheart, did I hurt you? Wei Ying shakes his head. His voice is a file in his throat, and it will only wear Lan Chan down to hear it. Lan Chan strokes along his neck, all his touches feather light. Wei Ying wants him to press down, to stop touching him like he's stroking air, to prove that he is solid after all.
It was not good crying, Wei Ying, was it?
Suddenly unsure, a rare note of uncertainty that Wei Ying hates immediately. He makes a face into the fabric of Lan Chan's borrowed shorts.
Good crying?
Wei Ying thought he knew what good crying was at his sister's wedding 5 years ago. Her face lit up with a joy so profound it shone through her like a stained glass window, casting everything around her in gold. He'd been happy, watching her, But then later, drunk in the corner of the bar, watching Lan Chan through hazy eyes that hadn't felt good at all. She was leaving for the other side of the country, and the love Wei Ying had learnt to trust was leaving with her, only the ephemeral grip of pixels and phone calls left to hold him. It was a selfish thought, an unworthy thought, the thought of the 20-year-old he'd been then. He is better than that now, he is. Which doesn't explain why he thinks it again, as he grits his teeth and begs Lan Chan to understand without saying a word. He shakes his head again and only realizes as his skin drags against the wet fabric that he is still crying. Lan Chan's hand moves to his shoulders.
I'm sorry, Wei Ying mumbles. You have nothing to apologize for. I am sorry, my Wei Ying, for making you cry.
You didn't... Wei Ying doesn't know how to explain. It's me, he wants to say. It's just me. Lan Chan rests his thumb in the hollow of Wei Ying's back.
I should have stopped. We should have discussed what it is that you wanted.
A month of hot mouths and Lan Chan's uncomplicated desire. All Wei Ying has had to be is open and ready, and he has managed that until now. This is the point where Lan Chan walks away, probably. When he realizes that the greedy tug of his hands has not unwoven Wei Ying's complicated snarl of a heart. But Lan Chan has been surprising him since they were teenagers with razor blades for voices, and he merely adjusts his hand, pulls Wei Ying upright and into him.
I am bad at this, he tells Wei Ying. I am bad at talking, and you do not like to let me hear you hurt. But I am still as sure as when we started this. I love you. Wei Ying, will you speak to me?
Wei Ying bursts into tears. It is not so much a bursting as a turning of the tap, Wei Ying's chest seizing tighter and more open all at once, his breaths coming quick, one after the other, stacked shelves flaking at the edges. His whole face twists with the force of his sobs, and he shakes in Lan Chan's arms, the hacked choke bark of his cries buried in his shoulder. He wishes he could twist away instead, backwards, into oblivion, but every time he moves, Lan Chan only holds him tighter. Wei Ying is still naked, and it feels so ridiculous to be doubly bare in this moment, utterly stripped of all desire.
You don't want me, he manages. You shouldn't.
That is not your decision, Lan Chan retorts, hands heavy on Wei Ying's spine.
Wei Ying lifts his head and rubs his eyes, as if that is enough to clear the evidence, when tears still stream down his swollen face, his body still trembling with the force of it.
Wei Ying.
Lan Chan's eyes are wet, too, clear, contained pools just reddening around the edges. Wei Ying wants to reach out, to see if the tears will spread under his hands, the way his own skin seems to want to hold nothing but grief.
Wei Ying, please.
You have to make me.
Lan Chan looks at him for a moment, very serious. He is so warm. When they were young, Wei Ying had not thought that he would be. He has learned differently in the years since. In 1,000 collapsed moments and tight embraces, the boundaries between them rubbed away, only the eraser flakes left to brush off, leading them to this.
You did not safe word before.
You didn't hurt me. You didn't, Lan Chan. It wasn't...
It is not only about hurt. Promise me, Wei Ying, this time you will.
Wei Ying nods and shivers. Perhaps Lan Chan will slam him against the wall and cradle his head and make him. Perhaps Lan Chan will hold him at the very edge until he talks. Perhaps. Lan Chan pinches the back of Wei Ying's neck and Wei Ying collapses into him, his bones liquefied. He is still crying a little, no tension left to hold back the last of the tears.
Wei Ying, you must tell me what is wrong.
Lan Chan's voice is very calm. His hands do not shake. He is a mountain upon which Wei Ying can throw himself, and he will still stand.
I was crying.
He waits for the lifted eyebrow, and Lan Chan provides it dutifully.
I mean, before. Not like this. I was crying when we were having sex, and it wasn't... You weren't hurting me, not more than I liked, and I wasn't sad. It was just... I was just crying, and then I couldn't stop, and I thought...
This is the most embarrassing bit, and he says it very quickly, like maybe Lan Chan won't hear.
I thought you would be disappointed and that I was doing the wrong thing and that I would ruin things.
You will not ruin things, Lanchan says, future tense, like he is so sure of Weiying that he stretches his promise into the infinite. And it is, Weiying, it is very normal to cry during or after sex. Very common. Weiying frowns at him. Lanchan had been very clear about what he'd wanted when they started this. He'd wanted to hold Weiying down and make him beg and leave bruises on the insides of his thighs. And Weiying had said yes and nothing else, eyes wide and wanting. He is beginning to think that that may have been a mistake.
Are you sure?
He asks. A hesitation, words poised on the knife edge of flight. I thought you might cry. I wanted to see it.
Weiying blinks at Lanchan and then gestures at himself. It is still hard to feel the outside of himself, but he knows what he looks like when he cries. It is called ugly crying for a reason, after all.
You are very beautiful, always,
Lanchan says, unmoved by Weiying's gesticulations.
However, I do not wish you to cry because you were worried I would not want you anymore. I would never want that.
Right.
Weiying is still a little unsure about the whys and wherefores, but he presses on.
And it's normal?
This is almost worse than if Lanchan had been worried about the crying. This is another thing where Weiying doesn't know where the lines are, doesn't know what's too loud or too much. Worries people by being quiet and focused for hours on end, nothing but the restless twitch of his hands to indicate life.
I can send you some reading.
Weiying nods. He likes to understand, likes to know how the chemicals march through his brain, making his choices for him. Know your enemy and all that.
I'm sorry, I got...
He shrugs. Lanchan has seen him cry before. At Zhejie's wedding, yes, but after that too, after exams and after Madame Yu threw him out once and for all. There was a time 3 years back where he couldn't cry at all, and Lanchan was there for that too. He knows what Weiying looks like when he is vibrating apart. Lanchan's anxiety is a quieter thing, nibbling at his edges, but Weiying is best at explosions.
No apologies.
Lanchan kisses the top of his head and lets go of his neck, smoothing his hands down Weiying's back.
Thank you for telling me.
You could try and make me cry now?
Weiying tries not to sound too pitiful.
Too easy, Lanchan says, and Weiying laughs at the rueful twist to his mouth, the sound coming out watery and crystal bright.
Lanchan hugs him tight again, and this time Weiying's hands come up to twist around his neck, and he kisses him softly on the mouth.
Thank you, Lanchan. I love you. Are you okay?
I am now. I love you, Weiying.
They look at each other for a moment, blurry with their closeness, just the tan expanse of Lanchan's skin and the black smear of his eyelashes in a molten puddle before him, and then Lanchan lets Weiying go.
I will find you pajamas, he says, and in the morning we will do some research.
They do a lot of research. Lanchan is most comfortable with a project, something tangible to grapple with, and Weiying likes watching him read. He tucks his toes underneath Lanchan's thigh and rests his laptop on his stomach, skimming through articles. It is pretty common, as it turns out.
It's never happened to me before,
he tells Lanchan, petulant.
You have not had good sex before.
Lanchan sounds smug, and Weiying flexes his toes in punishment so that they dig into Lanchan's left hamstring, but he's right. He's always been the person Weiying has told, after all. The person he really told, not the way he'd got drunk with Huaisong and moaned about lackluster orgasms that left him off-kilter and unsatisfied.
But we've had sex before, Weiying points out. I mean, it's not like the last month has sucked.
Lanchan shuts his laptop and places his hand on Weiying's calf. Weiying eyes him suspiciously over the tilted screen of his own laptop and tries not to squirm.
That is true. Was anything different for you yesterday?
Weiying thinks about it carefully. Not on the surface, certainly, but that's not what Lanchan is asking. He thinks about the languorous day they'd spent, the way he'd let everything drift to the surface, too relaxed to bother to tamp it down.
I felt kinda calm, I guess. Normally, like 80% of my energy is...
He splays his fingers, starbursting them into the air, and Lan Chan nods like he said something meaningful.
But I don't have to, with you, because you let me talk when I need to, and you don't mind me walking around, or... right?
I do not. It is how you think. I enjoy hearing your thoughts.
Right, so I was relaxed. And then, tears.
Did you not enjoy it?
Enjoy the crying?
I
don't know. It's a release, right? All that adrenaline and pent-up energy and hormonal soup and everything. Now I've read about it, that makes sense. And it's a lot, how you make me feel. It's overwhelming, so it tracks, I get it. I think I didn't give it time to be good.
Would you like to?
Wei Ying thinks about it. It is hard to get back to that glimmering, slippery moment before he fully realized what was happening. The memory is prickly around the edges, overlaid with the rough edges of fear.
I don't know. He tips his head back and groans. Lan Chan, I hate this. Can we go back to you throwing me over furniture?
At some point, yes.
Lan Chan frowns and curls his hand around Wei Ying's leg, right where the groove of his shin ends, watching the hair flatten under his thumb.
I am sorry this is another hard thing for you.
He sounds like he means it, and Wei Ying groans again, sits up.
Hey, come here.
Lan Chan slides half into his lap, legs slung over Wei Ying's.
It sucks for you too. I'm sorry. Why are we so bad at this? No, don't say anything, I know. Blah, 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 childhood bullshit, etc.
Lan Chan's eyes soften.
We are not so bad at this, he says.
Wei Ying watches Lan Chan breathe for a little bit, the gentle rise and fall of his chest under the thin cotton. It's a little hypnotizing, the kind of percussion Wei Ying can let himself get lost in.
Hey, Lan Chan, he says after a while. Why do you like it? Why do you want me to cry, I mean?
Lan Chan's ears go bright red, an immediate suffused flush, and Wei Ying cackles, pokes his arm.
If I have to talk about it, so do you.
That is fair. I like watching you lose control. I like being the one to make you lose control and to stop pretending.
Wei Ying opens his mouth, and Lan Chan runs one firm finger along his jaw, tapping his chin. Wei Ying shuts it.
We both pretend, Lan Chan continues. You are much better at it than I am, I think. I like that you do not have to with me. I like seeing the proof of that. And...
he tilts his head and the corner of his mouth ticks up.
You look very beautiful when you do. I like seeing you messy.
Just as well,
Wei Ying starts, and Lan Chan taps his face again in reprimand, shakes his head. Wei Ying rolls his eyes.
I don't like losing control normally,
he says, and Lan Chan tilts his head in acknowledgement.
It's different during sex, obviously, but I don't like...
He wiggles his fingers again, shorthand for a million different fidgeting ways they move entirely without Wei Ying's permission.
I like watching your hands, Lan Chan says, and Wei Ying sighs.
I know, but my body is always doing things without my permission. The crying just felt like another one of those, I think.
He rolls his eyes again, which Lan Chan ignores. He wouldn't have been able to say any of those things out loud just last year. He has a sinking suspicion that therapy is helping after all. Zhezhe will be so pleased. Lan Chan is silent for a long time. When they were younger, Wei Ying used to find Lan Chan's silences very difficult and used to view them exclusively as invitations to talk. Sometimes they still are, but mostly Wei Ying finds that they are waves he can ride, leading them inexorably to whatever it is that needs to be said.
Would you feel better if I gave you permission?
Lan Chan asks eventually.
To cry?
And for other things. To touch yourself, to touch me. I could tie you up so you could not move.
Wei Ying thinks about it, about the ways in which his mind has started to approach stillness in the heated middle of their time together. Not quite fully under, but only because of the ways in which he dug his fingernails into the walls of consciousness, determined to be good at this, determined to make things good for Lan Chan. If he took those choices away, that need to make decisions about what exactly constituted good, Wei Ying thinks, maybe. Lan-chan? He takes Lan-chan's hand and prods at the thing taking shape in his brain, underlying everything else.
I think I'm scared.
Lan-chan kisses the rough grain of Wei-ying's knuckles.
I am also scared. To be trusted is to be afraid, I think. But I also trust you. There is balance there.
Good. Ugh.
Wei-ying rubs at his forehead with their joined hands, clumsy little bumps of pressure.
I think I have a feelings headache. Is that a thing? It feels like it should be a thing. If it's not a thing, I'll write to the medical journals about it. Later, once I'm no longer exhibiting irrefutable symptoms.
Lan-chan gives him a soft half-smile, indulgent, but does not reply. Wei-ying has said enough for now, then. It's a relief, but not one he wears lightly. There is still the unspooling of the results to be born, the fragile threads Lan-chan has spun around Wei-ying's heart he must examine to find their pattern. Wei-ying rubs his head again. He might need a nap first. Wei-ying goes for a run, which is hands down the worst form of exercise he undertakes, but the pounding of his feet forces his thoughts into rhythmic, sequential patterns, and by the time he gets back to Lan-chan's, he knows what he wants. He's also sweaty and exhausted, frizzling with the remnants of adrenaline, and even post-shower is utterly unable to sleep. Wei-ying kicks the duvet in the air above him, enjoying the puff of air before it floats back down.
Wei-ying.
Oops. Sorry, Lan-chan, he whispers. I'll go read in the living room, it's fine.
Do you want to read?
Lan-chan turns over onto his side, a shadowy mountain ridge. Wei-ying shakes his head, forgetting Lan-chan can't see him.
No.
He takes a very deep breath and pats along the shape until he reaches Lan-chan's chest, where his heart beats solid and slow.
Not really. Lan-chan, will you help me sleep?
What do you need?
Hearing Lan-chan say that in his deep, soft voice makes Wei-ying think of other things he wants. But Lan-chan had very specifically said need, and he does still like to adhere to the letter of the law in some respects.
Will you lie on top of me? Not like that.
Wei-ying can feel himself blushing.
Just like a blanket.
Lan-chan huffs out something that might possibly be interpreted as a laugh and rolls over on top of Wei-ying. He arranges Wei-ying's limbs carefully, fitting himself in between his thighs and tucking his face into the crook of Wei-ying's neck, moving his hair out of the way. Wei-ying brings one arm up, laying it across Lan-chan's back. When he'd asked for this, he'd mostly been thinking about Lan-chan's weight, about being held down, unable to wriggle. He'd forgotten about the way Lan-chan seeps warmth, about the soft sandalwood smell of him, and the brush of hair on his bare legs against Wei-ying's. There's a lot going on, sensorily, but everything against his skin is soft and familiar, and Wei-ying sinks into it, feeling his breathing slow. He pushes the feeling outwards, through his limbs, up through every place where Lan-chan is pressed against him, and closes his eyes. Eventually, he falls asleep.
I want to try again.
Lan-chan looks up from where he's marking homework, nods, and then immediately turns back to the task at hand.
Lan-chan?
Wei-ying knows he's whining, but the itch from yesterday is back and he wants.
Lan-chan, don't ignore me.
I am not ignoring you.
Lan-chan stretches one leg sideways so he can nudge at where Wei-ying is lying on the floor, reading.
I need to finish this, and then we can talk.
We talked. Lan-chan, we already talked. The whole of yesterday was talking. You're going to tie me up and fuck me and hopefully make me cry. And then we will have magically cured all of that weird bullshit and...
Wei-ying.
All right, maybe not all of it.
All of it might be a lot for the first time. Wei-ying has spent a lot of his life smiling when he shouldn't have.
But still...
Lan-chan hums and kicks Wei-ying's thigh, very gently, just in acknowledgement.
Lan-chan, do you want me to help Mark?
It's not strictly allowed, but Lan-chan lets him sometimes if there's a lot to do, if Wei-ying is being particularly demanding, which he currently is. It's not like Wei-ying doesn't have a strong enough grasp of music theory to correct Lan-chan's youngest students, even if it's been a while since he's done anything but noodle. Lan-chan slides half the remaining exams across the table to the space opposite him. And Weiying groans and stands up, stretching his arms upward so that his back arches and his shirt rises halfway up his stomach.
If I touch you now, Lan Chan says, very controlled, very steady, I will not stop, and I will need to complete this marking after dinner.
Weiying could keep pushing. Lan Chan wouldn't hold it against him, not after the weekend they've had. But he doesn't want Lan Chan to have to stay up late marking, not when he could be curling up in bed with Weiying instead, sated and happy. He smiles, apologetic, and drops his arms. Lan Chan finishes before he does and starts digging into Weiying's pile too. Weiying has been very good, extraordinarily good, quite frankly, until now. But he catches Lan Chan's hand as he reaches for more paper, stroking along the webbing of his thumb. Lan Chan, do you think you'll need glasses one day? Because of all the squinting to try and read children's handwriting? I think you would look so hot in glasses, Lan Chan. Actually, maybe we should get dress-up glasses with no prescription, and you could wear them and you could read my work. And I'd get a kiss if you thought it was good. Lan Chan waits patiently, his pen hovering above the paper. But Weiying is now thinking about Lan Chan and little gold-rimmed glasses, kissing Weiying every time he makes a good point, and then maybe letting Weiying suck him off under the desk. And so Lan Chan carries on one-handed.
Weiying.
Weiying jolts to find Lan Chan looking at him, an amused smile on his face.
I have finished the marking.
Oh, good. Weiying pushes back his chair with a horrible screeching sound and shakes his legs out. Race you? It's a near thing, but Lan Chan wins. He has longer legs, which is cheating, probably. But it's hard to mind too much as he catches Weiying around the waist, pinning him in place. His arms are so strong, the muscle taut in his forearm as Weiying struggles, and he is completely unable to budge. Lan Chan grabs Weiying's wrist with his other hand, pulling them together in front of his stomach, and then transfers his grip so he can get something out of his pocket. It's rope, silken and soft, and Weiying spends a moment fervently thankful for Lan Chan's ability to plan 6 steps ahead, before he remembers he is supposed to be trying to get away.
I will not let you go,
Lan Chan says, part threat and part promise, and Weiying feels the heat curl promisingly in his stomach. Lan Chan pulls Weiying so that Weiying's back is against Lan Chan's chest, cocooned by the broad press of his shoulders, by Lan Chan's arms coming to wrap around his middle, hands tying Weiying up with neat, sure movements. Lan Chan has definitely practiced this, probably this morning while Weiying was still asleep. His chin is hooked over Weiying's shoulder so that he can see properly, and it feels so strange to be held like this while Lan Chan ties him up, while Lan Chan prepares to fuck him. Weiying gives up the pretense and relaxes back into Lan Chan's hold, arching his neck so that Lan Chan turns his head and kisses his jugular. Lan Chan settles him on the bed on his back, tugging off Weiying's shorts and boxers. He's naked too now, and Weiying loves watching him like this. The familiar lines of him, the easy, precise way in which he moves, aware of every movement he makes. Lan Chan frowns at Weiying's shirt, which will be functionally impossible to remove now that he's tied up, and at first Weiying thinks he's made a mistake, that Lan Chan will have to untie him, or they'll be forced to restart, or that Weiying will have to keep his shirt on, which is fine, except for how he wants Lan Chan to bite his nipples. Then Lan Chan reaches down, very deliberately, and rips Weiying's shirt in two. It is almost unbearably hot, and Weiying gasps, dick twitching against his thigh. He lifts his hands obligingly, rolling so that Lan Chan can tug the fabric out from under him.
Lan Chan!
It is a terrible item of clothing, Lan Chan says, unrepentant. It will be better used for cleaning rags.
Lan Chan is, to be fair, not wrong. It's a joke t-shirt someone gave Jiang Cheng during high school and that Weiying has since appropriated. It probably was not very difficult to rip. Weiying tries to look stern anyway, for the way Lan Chan reaches down and pinches a nipple, fingernails digging into the areola.
Shh,
he says, like he's soothing a child. Weiying wishes it didn't work, but it really does. Reminds him of being cradled, of being fed, of blinking away tears he still doesn't fully understand. Lan Chan goes very slowly. He opens Weiying up more carefully than he ever has before, until Weiying is panting, trying to fuck himself on Lan Chan's fingers and failing completely. One of Lan Chan's hands is planted in the middle of his chest, an immovable boulder, heavy and completely overwhelming. Every time Weiying tries to move, tries to get himself more purchase, Lan Chan pushes down, and Weiying's heart feels like it's about to burst out of his chest. Lan Chan scissors his fingers thoughtfully and then lowers his head, hair falling like a weeping willow and obscuring his face entirely. He pulls his fingers as wide as they will go and makes a little pleased noise. He's watching himself, Weiying realizes. Watching Weiying stretch, watching the slick pulse of lube inside Weiying as his fingers move. Weiying feels himself go red, a slow traveling blush painted stark against the white of the sheets. I think you are ready, Lan Chan tells him, and Weiying doesn't have the breath to argue and tell him that he's been ready for what feels like hours. Lan Chan kisses his stomach and the inside of his thighs, the very tip of his dick, and sits up, licking his lips. I want you to ride me, he says, and Weiying nods, sitting up clumsily. It's a little difficult without his hands, but he does Pilates for a reason. And Lan Chan lets him struggle, watching the flex of his core with dark, hungry eyes. Lan Chan positions them so that he's leaned up against the headboard, Weiying facing him in his lap, his bound hands brushing their stomachs. Lift your hips, he says, and guides his dick into Weiying, his hand on Weiying's hip stopping him from just pushing down. The slide seems to go on forever, the slow, implacable push emphasizing Lan Chan's length, and Weiying moans as he bottoms out, breathing heavily. His thigh muscles are already slightly sore, just from lowering himself down. But Lan Chan is starting to move, little shallow thrusts that brush against his prostate, his hands burning brands on Weiying's hips. For a long time, Weiying just drifts. His head falls onto Lan Chan's shoulder, and he lets Lan Chan move his hips and kiss his neck, and rub the silken trail of loose rope between them against Weiying's nipples and stomach and the leaking slit of his cock until he's shuddering. The strain in his thighs is a sweet, aching counterpoint to the building heat inside him, to the complete lack of interest Lan Chan appears to have in letting him come. Lan Chan, he says eventually, words slurred into the side of Lan Chan's neck. Lanagaga, please. Lan Chan rubs his big hand up and down between Weiying's shoulder blades and hums slightly, a question. Please, will you let me come? He's dripping wet between them, the end of the rope sticky and damp, pre-cum smeared all over both their stomachs, and he feels dizzy with it, can taste himself on the back of his tongue, can almost see how it would feel to come like this, the clarity of need almost blinding. He feels scoured through, everything in him cleanly coalescing into one point. Into one demand. Please, he tries again, lifting his head. Lan Chan turns to meet him, opening his mouth and kissing him deeply. Weiying groans and fucks himself down a little harder, harder than he means to, given that he's expecting Lan Chan to stop him, and is therefore accounting for the resistance. He yelps, surprised, and Lan Chan raises one eyebrow. You may, he says. If you work for it, is heavily implied. Weiying grits his teeth and grinds down again. He tries to press closer to Lan Chan to give himself more friction, but Lan Chan shakes his head. You get my hand, or you get to fuck yourself, Weiying. Please do not be greedy. Weiying groans and tips himself into Lan Chan's waiting arms. He wants his hand, he wants skin. And the strength and surety of Lan Chan's fingers, and so he slows, clenching around Lan Chan's dick vindictively. Lan Chan hisses between his teeth, and he scrapes his fingernails down Weiying's back. I'll be good, Weiying says hastily. He wants that dreamy feeling back, and he wants Lan Chan's hands more than he wants to come. Right now, anyway. He's pretty sure Lan Chan will let him come regardless. You will do anything to get me to touch you, won't you? Lan Chan says, I wonder what you would do if I said I would not touch you at all. Weiying shakes his head and, startled, realizes his eyes are stinging. Lan Chan, he says, frantic, and Lan Chan nods, brushes one thumb under his eye. Not tonight, then, he says.
My poor Weiying, so desperate for me. He reaches a hand between them, eyes still a little pitying, not looking away from Weiying's face, and Weiying comes at the first stroke of his hand. It's a rush, a ringing in his ears, freewheeling through a tunnel, blind to anything but the endpoint and the speed. Lan Chan is fucking up into him, hard and fast, groaning through his own orgasm. But Weiying can hardly hear him, can only feel the world thinning around him, his vision dripping in watercolor.
I didn't cry,
is the first thing he says when he can speak again, sitting in Lan Chan's lap as he massages Weiying's wrists.
You did, a little.
Lan Chan rotates Weiying's wrists gently, rubbing aloe gel into the rope marks. It's cool, cooling, makes Weiying feel like he can touch the earth again.
Yeah, but not properly. I mean, it was good. It was. Lan Chan, it was so good. But no tears.
We said we would go slow.
Lan Chan sounds reproving and a little lost, maybe. Weiying twists in his grip and leans up to kiss him.
So good, he reminds him. I just want what the articles talked about, the outpouring or whatever. I want to give that to you.
Lan Chan's eyes go very wide, and he brings Weiying's hands to his lips, kissing them gently.
You are so good.
His voice is hushed.
Weiying, you are so good.
Lan Chan, I think we need to go rougher.
Lan Chan cracks another egg into the jug and holds out his hand. Weiying hands him a fork and hip checks the drawer shut.
Or, like, more intense anyway. Edging would probably work eventually, but both of us get too impatient.
And you come before you are told to.
One time, and it was like the fourth time we'd fucked. I was still very overwhelmed. It's been 2 whole months now. I'm much better equipped to deal.
Lan Chan looks smug, even just holding his hand out for the paprika. Something about the set of his shoulders emanates self-satisfaction.
So, more intense.
Yes, I agree. Just rough will not work on you. You like it too much.
Lan Chan!
Weiying throws the front of Lan Chan's apron over his face, like a maiden in a historical romance, and makes outraged noises into it. Lan Chan does not stop whisking the eggs, but he hooks his ankle around Weiying's legs and kisses the top of his head, so that's all right.
Lan Chan, do you want to tie me up again? But more this time?
Weiying raises his head, digs his chin into Lan Chan's shoulder.
Shibari?
Yeah, if you want. We don't have to go that fancy, though, if you don't.
Weiying stops and thinks about it. He looks at Lan Chan with his pearl drop earrings and hairpin and the neat hang of his apron, only creased where Weiying has grabbed it.
Yeah, we can do shibari. I think I'd look good like that, right?
Lan Chan does move then. He sets the eggs aside and turns to hold Weiying's face, cupping it between his palms. The only thing Weiying can do is kiss him. Lan Chan ties the final knot and sits back on his heels to look at Weiying. The karada binding sits neatly across Weiying's chest and his back, coming up to pin his arms together. The rope rails down between his legs and wraps around his thighs, the final knot tied just above his cock, a tantalizing hint of pressure. Lan Chan has taken 3 classes since Weiying raised the idea, and his hands are sure on Weiying's skin, deft and competent in a way that sends shivers down Weiying's spine. It has taken a very long time for Lan Chan to tie Weiying up, and Weiying has had to stay very still the whole time, each new pinioned limb ticking something over in his brain so that he slides sideways into hazy peace.
Good,
Lan Chan checks, holding Weiying's chin still so that Weiying has to look him in the eyes.
Yeah, good.
His speech is starting to slur a bit, treacling in his mouth.
Good boy.
Lan Chan shakes the blindfold out and ties it around Weiying's face, tugging it with his fingers to check it won't slip. It's pitch black now, Weiying stiff on his knees and the world unknowably swaying around him. He hears Lan Chan stand up, rustle of clothes and footsteps, and then a door? A cupboard? Some kind of wooden creak, anyway, and then nothing. Weiying listens. It's hard to listen closely like this.
Everything seems so loud. His own exhalations are an impossible crescendo in his ears, the beating of his heart bass drum prominent. Wei Ying has never been very good with knowing how much time is passing, and it's even more difficult like this, with nothing to measure it against but his own body, the way the sweat is beginning to build in the back of his knees, the itch on the side of his nose, the sensation of his thumbs brushing together behind his back. Deep breaths, he tries to tell himself, but that only makes it louder. Things are starting to solidify again, to form themselves into concrete shapes that are much harder to erode. Deep breaths. Lan Chan is just fetching something, waiting for Wei Ying to do better at this, to try harder. Lan Chan? His voice echoes oddly in the bedroom, plaintive and empty. It's fine. It's fine. Lan Chan probably went to wash his hands or get changed, or decided it was very important to fold his clothes properly, or forgot that he needed to put laundry on, or wanted to consult some kind of online forum about the ropes. Or Wei Ying left the butt plug somewhere annoying again. It's probably that. It's probably... Was the room messy when they'd started? Lan Chan finds it hard to concentrate like that sometimes. It's probably that. Wei Ying's fault for whatever mess he'd left around earlier. Wei Ying tries to take another deep breath, but his chest feels painfully tight and his breath only skims the surface. A shallow splash of oxygen. The ropes, probably. Perhaps Lan Chan tied them too tight. Perhaps they should have waited for Huaisang to get back from holiday after all, and they could have shown them together. Lan Chan, he calls again, quieter this time. He doesn't quite mean to be, but it's difficult to force his voice out into the open when everything inside him wants to shrink, wants to curl in itself. It's so dark, and Wei Ying cannot imagine what he must look like, what he is doing to make Lan Chan stay away. He can't move. He can't make himself better. He realizes, distantly, that his breath is coming quicker now, breathing on every inhale. The dark is gray at the edges, and the blindfold hasn't slipped. Nothing around him has slipped, just him, unable to grasp at anything at all. Red. He hurls the word from him, feels it catch, painful, against his throat. Red, Lan Chan, I can't. Lan Chan's hands are on him at once, untying the blindfold, thumbs smoothing along Wei Ying's face. Wei Ying isn't even crying. He feels too scooped out for that, desert dry and utterly deserted.
I'm here, sweetheart. I am here. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you for stopping me. Let me untie you and then I will get you in the shower.
Wei Ying can't even nod. He stares blankly as Lan Chan flicks open his pocket knife and starts cutting the ropes off Wei Ying, rubbing the blood back into his arms as he goes. Everything hurts, a constant dull ache that feels nothing like the sharp pricks of pleasure pain that Wei Ying loves so much. There's nothing to wrestle against here, nothing to fight with and ride, just this awful throbbing that suffuses him and leaves him with nothing. He shakes his head without knowing why he's doing it, and Lan Chan's hands are on his face immediately, holding him still, even as Wei Ying tries to shake harder, violent enough that pain shoots up his neck. At least it's something. He tries to move again, but Lan Chan stops him, holds tight. He can't breathe.
Wei Ying, look at me.
Lan Chan's voice is solid at least, even as everything else warps into radio waves.
Breathe. Breathe with me. In. That's it. That's it. Out. You're doing so well. I have you. I'm not going anywhere, sweetheart. Never again. Deep breaths for me now.
It's almost a babble for Lan Chan, and Wei Ying wants to laugh, wants to tip forward and say, "Is this what it takes you to talk, Lan Chan?" But there aren't any words, just an empty rattling as he tries to breathe. It evens out a little, eventually, and Lan Chan lets go of his face, scoots closer so that Wei Ying is bracketed by his thighs, and cuts off the rest of the rope. Lan Chan's not even undressed, still in the white blouse and pale gray slacks he'd been wearing when he'd tied Wei Ying up. Perhaps not very much time has passed at all. Lan Chan rubs Wei Ying's fingers, blotched red and white, clumped bloody tissues that Wei Ying cannot feel. Maybe cold, he thinks, distantly. Maybe, if he really concentrates, cold.
Can you walk?
Lan Chan asks after he's unfolded Wei Ying's legs, after he's rotated his ankles, toes swollen and cramped. Wei Ying looks down at his legs, crisscrossed with rope marks, papery and alien, and shakes his head. Lan Chan doesn't say anything to that, just scoops him up in his arms, like Wei Ying doesn't weigh anything at all. Perhaps he doesn't. Wei Ying lets Lan Chan sit him on the floor in the shower and wash him with the shower attachment, both of them slumped against the tiles. Lan Chan still wearing his clothes, the blouse translucent against his skin, spider webbing into wet clumps where it hangs from his shoulders. He rubs shampoo into Wei Ying's hair, massaging his scalp, thumb perfect sweeping pressure. Wei Ying can feel that, at least, that and the inside-outside flushing heat of the water, sweat beating the back of his neck. Lan Chan washes the soap from his body and hair, lifts Wei Ying up and wraps them both in one of his ridiculous white fluffy towels. His clothes are cold and cloying out of the immediate heat of the shower, and Wei Ying paws at them until Lan Chan slips them off, wriggling inelegantly so that he doesn't have to stand up, and wraps himself around Wei Ying, patting at them both with the towel until they are dry. There are sweatpants folded neatly underneath the towel rack, and Lan Chan helps Wei Ying put them on, gives him one of his own oversized hoodies to wear, and puts one on himself. He touches Wei Ying as much as possible all the time, hands soft and lingering, tucking Wei Ying's damp hair behind his ears, smoothing shea butter into his legs. Slowly, the touches start to make something like sense. Slowly, Wei Ying starts to hear Lan Chan as he tells him, again and again, that he isn't going anywhere. Lan Chan wraps Wei Ying's hands around his calf as he stands up, gets them both glasses of water from the bathroom tap.
When you have drunk this, I will fetch us food.
Wei Ying squints. His stomach, now that he thinks of it, is churning, whirlpool hollow. He shakes his head and Lan Chan's face goes impossibly soft.
You don't have to eat straight away. I have rice cakes if you feel nauseated. There is chili chocolate in the fridge.
He strokes Wei Ying's face and Wei Ying leans into it, cherishes how uncomplicated it feels.
I have face masks.
Wei Ying nods and Lan Chan leans backward, keeping his legs touching Wei Ying's, and opens the bathroom cabinet, unpeels a face mask and places it over Wei Ying's skin. It is cool, touching almost every part of his face so that Wei Ying can feel where his nose is, the tops of his lips, the whole expanse of his forehead. Wei Ying makes a little questioning noise, hand coming up to touch Lan Chan's cheek, and Lan Chan shakes his head.
I want you to be able to see me. Come, let's go sit on the couch. You will get sore sitting here.
All of Wei Ying aches. It feels like he's got a cold, almost, like everything is twice as heavy as it should be. He's not sure how much difference a sofa will make. He lets Lan Chan carry him anyway, lets him arrange him so that Wei Ying is curled up in Lan Chan's lap. Lan Chan flicks through his phone, selecting delivery options.
We can microwave them later if we need to, he says, when he sees whatever Wei Ying's face is doing.
At some point, he's picked up the rice cakes that live on the countertop, and he breaks one in half, starts munching. Wei Ying breaks his half into individual bits of puffed rice, laying them out in his hands. They don't quite look like food like that, just things he can hold in his mouth the way he chews on pens. He opens his mouth very carefully and puts one in, and Lan Chan smiles at him as if he's done something incredible. Lan Chan does have to let go when the doorbell rings, but he's still in Wei Ying's line of sight as he buzzes the delivery guy in, turning around to look at him even as he accepts the bags and tips the man. He's got extra spicy options because Lan Chan is the best, and, for some reason, that's the thought that tips Wei Ying into something approaching coherence, the first thing he can truly get a grip on. Lan Chan is the best, no matter what.
I'm sorry,
he mumbles as Lan Chan peels the face mask off him, wiping off the residue. Lan Chan kisses him very gently, a dry press of lips.
You have nothing to be sorry for. I am so proud of you for telling me you needed to stop. It is the best thing you could have done.
Lan Chan snaps open a pair of cheap wooden chopsticks and hands them to Wei Ying. Doesn't say anything as Wei Ying eats, one noodle at a time. Tiny, suspicious mouthfuls until his stomach starts to feel something approaching normal again.
Feel dizzy, he tells Lan Chan.
That is all right. Keep drinking water.
He taps the glass on the coffee table.
I will get you more if you need.
Fingers cold.
Lan Chan takes the hand not currently wielding chopsticks and holds it between his own, blows hot air onto Weiying's fingers until they tingle, until they begin to feel like fingers once more. Perhaps if Lan Chan can touch all of him, slow and steady and careful, Weiying will feel like he has a body again, will no longer exist in bits and pieces and sawed-off edges. Perhaps Lan Chan will stay. It's easier than Weiying expects, falling asleep. A slow easing of the ache, and Lan Chan pressed up against him, his arm wrapped around Weiying's middle. He hasn't stopped touching him for hours, shuffling them around the kitchen, into the bedroom, brushing his teeth with one hand tangled in Weiying's hair. But the heat of him is still a surprise every time Weiying shifts, feels the responsive bloom of life in his own skin. He's tried to speak a couple of times, but the words are strange and mangled in his mouth, like trying to speak a foreign language he's only heard once or twice. Lan Chan just kisses him.
"In the morning, Weiying. We will talk in the morning. I will be there."
It's barely still the morning by the time Weiying wakes up. The day is stormy and gray outside. Lan Chan's bedside table lamp on as he reads, Weiying's head pressed up against his hip and thigh.
"Lan Chan?"
It's the clearest thing he's said since he stopped the scene, and he's glad it's Lan Chan's name, syllables familiar and baked bread warm in his mouth. Lan Chan stops reading immediately, scooches down on the bed to drape himself alongside Weiying.
"What's the time?"
"Almost 12. You slept well."
Wait, shit, don't you have a shift?"
Lan Chan volunteers at the local community center, as if he doesn't get enough of people asking him difficult questions during the week. His shifts are very early on a Saturday morning. Weiying's are as late as he can get them.
"I texted Mian Mian this morning. Being here was more important."
Weiying turns to face Lan Chan, tracing the placid lines of his face.
"You didn't have to do that. I'd have been all right."
Lan Chan's mouth tightens, and Weiying thinks about what it would have felt like to wake up to find Lan Chan gone, or for Lan Chan to tell a sleep-hazed Weiying that he was leaving. Perhaps Lan Chan is right.
I needed to stay also. Wanted to be with you."
"Thank you."
Weiying can be honest about that, at least. He wriggles until their faces are aligned, kisses the worried pout of Lan Chan's lips.
"I'm glad you stayed."
Lan Chan kisses him back for a moment, relaxed and open. He clearly hasn't gotten up at all because he still smells like sleep, musky and warm, and Weiying inches closer, as close as he can get, until Lan Chan's arms are tight around him and they are pressed front to front.
"Can we eat the rest of the takeout for breakfast?"
"If you wish. I have to do laundry."
"And we should talk,"
Weiying says, so that Lan Chan doesn't have to. Lan Chan nods, his nose brushing Weiying's, and kisses him again, more oppressive mouths than anything else. He doesn't carry Weiying this time, but keeps his arm looped around Weiying's waist as they walk into the kitchen, pulls Weiying close into his side and lets him lean there while the microwave whirs. Weiying squeezes his hand, kisses his shoulder.
"I can do the laundry, if you want,"
he offers. Lan Chan makes a little frowny face, the wrinkle in between his eyebrows deepening, and Weiying pokes it.
"Hey, come on. You're not doing a bad job looking after me if I do laundry."
"Let me help once we have eaten."
Weiying sighs gustily, but there's something sweetly domestic at the thought of Lan Chan helping him carry the sheets to the washing machine, so he sits down with Lan Chan to eat. Lan Chan doesn't mind if Weiying chatters on while they eat, but he tends not to speak, a hangover from his strict childhood. And today Weiying joins him in silence, his speech stretching to a plateau. They clean up together and start the washing machine, and then Lan Chan pulls Weiying to the sofa and wraps him up in a blanket, clasping Weiying's hands in his.
"You looked after me really well,"
Weiying tells him, because it's important that Lan Chan knows that, even if they have to spend time messily picking over what went wrong.
"Before and afterwards. I didn't drop again this morning."
"Because I was there."
"Yeah, because it was just, I didn't know where you'd gone and you weren't talking to me, and I'm bad at being alone."
"I know."
He kisses Weiying's knuckles.
"I should have stopped the first time you said my name."
"I didn't safe word."
"No, but I..."
"Oh, you didn't like it either?"
Lan Chan shakes his head. He's kept Weiying's hands pressed to his mouth, breathing against his knuckles.
I spent enough time ignoring you when we were young. You always have my attention. I do not wish to pretend otherwise.
Okay, well, you did an especially good job in that case. Afterwards. And that means we're on the same page. That's good.
Weiying jostles his hands and tries to grin.
It's good, Lan-chan. No more ignoring, that's all. I liked the ropes, I think, at the beginning. When I could see what I looked like and see you watching me.
When I knew I was real, he thinks, with startling clarity.
Lan-chan closes his eyes, which means there's something he wants to say, but he doesn't know how to say it.
Weiying leans forward so that his hair falls in curtains around them, secretive and shadowed.
Lan-chan?
We are not doing that again.
His voice makes clear that this is not a negotiation, but Weiying pouts all the same.
Weiying, we are not. I will not push your boundaries just so that I can watch you cry.
That's not. Sometimes stuff goes wrong. We know that. It went wrong, and we won't do exactly that again, obviously, but that doesn't mean...
Things should not go wrong.
Not for me, he means. Things should not go wrong for me. Lan-chan!
Weiying climbs into his lap properly and tilts Lan-chan's head up so that he can look sternly down at him.
One bad experience is not a good enough reason to abandon the whole thing. I want to cry. I want...
It is if you get hurt.
Lan-chan, I wasn't hurt. I was just...
Weiying.
Lan-chan closes his eyes again, his eyelashes brushing Weiying's forefingers.
You did not see yourself afterwards. I cannot do that to you again.
I'm not asking you to.
Weiying, you are being unreasonable.
Weiying flops backwards, Lan-chan's words like a blow to the chest. Lan-chan opens his eyes instantly and reaches for him, pulling him back, wrapping him up, eyebrows creased apologetically. Sorry, Weiying says. He rubs his wet eyes against Lan-chan's neck, damp salt smear. Sorry, I know you're being sensible. I know you're just thinking about me. I'm pushing, I'm sorry.
I am protecting myself also.
That's okay, you're allowed. He kisses the side of Lan-chan's neck. We established what went wrong. Tick, tick, great communication skills. 10 out of 10 for 2 emotionally fraught gays. We can table it for a bit, yeah? You can go back to throwing me around and making me suck your dick and... Lan-chan, did you just shiver? He pulls back and pinches Lan-chan's ears, which are a dusky pink. How are you horny right now? I'm not horny and I'm literally sitting on your dick. Lan-chan blushes harder and Weiying beams. God, I love you so much. When my sex brain switches back on, I'm going to blow you so hard, it'll be great. But not now, okay?
Lan-chan kisses Weiying's forehead and drops his hands, primly folds them in his lap.
Lan-chan doesn't have a sex part of his brain, Weiying is realizing. It's just kind of his whole brain.
We can watch Architectural Digest house tours if you wish.
And make fun of rich people? You do love me. Weiying smiles as soft as he can manage, so that Lan-chan knows he means it with no sharp edges attached. Weiying is not known for his patience, but for this, he can wait.
Weiying looks down at his therapy worksheet and frowns at it. Looking down also means he's looking at his sweatpants, which are actually his and not just stolen from Lan-chan, but that he'd found in Lan-chan's drawer, in a little separate pile of his clothes. He is trying not to think about what that means. He's here more often than not, because his own sublet is a cramped nightmare. But that doesn't mean he's moved in. It's too soon, too clingy. Everything that he promised himself he wouldn't be, even if his soda is in the fridge and his soap is in the shower. And Lan-chan now lets him load the dryer without hovering over his shoulder. He shakes himself and refocuses on the sheet of paper. Grounding exercises. He pats the floor in reassurance. They've got this.
Lan-chan, he says, and the man in question looks up, makes a small inquisitive noise. No, I'm naming things I can see in my surroundings, and describing them. Lan-chan, who is very handsome and hot and also my boyfriend. The sofa, upon which we have had sex and which is great for naps. 3 cushions, which have washable covers, for which we are grateful. The rug, which is kind to my knees, and...
Weiying.
Lan Chan is gritting his teeth.
Would you like me to leave the room?
No, it's good. I'm not going to kick you out of your own lounge.
Lan Chan frowns, which Weiying will not be examining, thanks.
I can do the next thing on the list if I'm distracting you.
He squints at the worksheet again.
Grounding movement or physical activity. Hey, Lan Chan.
No.
You don't know what I was going to say.
I do.
Lan Chan's face goes utterly smooth, and Weiying waits for whatever devastating blow he is about to deal.
It will be good. Lan Chan has folded his hands together and everything.
Besides, you do very little of the moving during sex.
Lan Chan?
Weiying squeaks, delighted to be so outraged.
Are you calling me a pillow princess?
Lan Chan picks up his book again, a suppressed smirk bubbling just under his mask. Weiying loves him so much.
Okay, so no movement right now. Ugh, I run anyway. I do this already. Whatever, I'll just write that. Next thing, find an object that is personal to you and has positive associations and carry it around. Lan Chan?
No.
Ugh, okay, well, using words. Nope, skipping that one.
Weiying.
Lan Chan holds out a hand.
Let me see.
Weiying hands it over, foreboding sitting heavy in his shoulders. Lan Chan reads quickly, eyes flicking from side to side, and then he sets the paper down, smoothing it with his hands.
Would you like me to help?
Weiying
thinks about it. He doesn't want to say positive things about himself. It's embarrassing and weird. Who goes around thinking nice things about themselves all day? But it might be worse coming from Lan Chan.
I think I might actually cry if you tell me I'm strong or I'm kind or whatever.
You are.
Lan Chan, I'm not kidding. I don't think I can handle it.
Lan Chan looks at him expectantly.
What?
Weiying, you need to do the exercise.
He taps the worksheet.
There is a feedback box for it. I will leave if you wish.
He looks uncertain suddenly.
I do not want it to be too much.
I might not do it if you leave.
There, honesty.
Can you do it with me?
About myself?
Weiying nods, and Lan Chan comes to sit cross-legged on the ground opposite him, takes a very deep breath. Weiying realizes that this is probably hard for Lan Chan, too. Lan Chan prefers to speak very little about himself. But he's doing this anyway so that Weiying can complete his stupid therapy worksheet and find his way back to being a person who exists in his body.
Lan Chan, I'm...
He looks down at himself, at the bone bump of his knee visible through his sweatpants, the soft, slight bulge of his cock outlined in gray cotton, the arch of his left foot, toes scrunched into the rug.
I know I'm hot.
Lan Chan nods immediately, which is gratifying.
And that's good. Obviously that's good. I like feeling good. I like feeling pretty for you. And I like being able to do stuff with my body, like bouldering with Cheng Di and playing with Aling and sex, I guess. But other than that, it's just an arm. It's just a leg. I don't care about it. It doesn't really feel like it's got anything to do with me.
He doesn't know if Lan Chan will understand. Lan Chan, who is so unabashedly present in his own body, in a way that Weiying only half remembers having.
Lan Chan reaches out and strokes his hand down Weiying's arm. But you value your body for what it does. That is good.
He touches Weiying's leg, fingers cupped over his knee.
I do not wholly understand, but I am glad you have told me, and that you are speaking about this in therapy.
A little stern look, just in case Weiying thinks he can get away with only having this conversation once.
Weiying is Weiying to me. I love your arms and your legs and your face and all the rest of you, but mostly I love Weiying. And if you wanted to change in any way, or...
It's not that.
Sometimes in bed.
Right, but it's not that. It's just fun, you know? It makes me feel good. To imagine other ways of being yours.
It's true. Weiying looks down at his body some days and is startled to see it there, long and lean and never quite what he remembers. He doesn't picture curves or pussy or any of the other things that he occasionally brings up in bed, hotly whispered into Lan Chan's skin. He just pictures a shape,
A sketch of an outline with none of the other details filled in. Sometimes it's nice to envision something else, to scribble over the pale lines of his body with another way of loving Lan Chan. Lan Chan's mouth drops open slightly, his eyes darkening, and he sways forward, seemingly without noticing, almost close enough to kiss.
"You are always mine," he swallows. "I love you very deeply. That is my good thing."
Wei Ying kisses Lan Chan because he can't not.
"I love you. That's not my good thing. I mean, it is my good thing, but it isn't the thing for the exercise. I can't keep writing you and Xie Xie down for everything. My therapist will..." "Okay, I'm imaginative. I make connections that other people might not."
"That is true. I am kind to children, and I am good with them. They trust me."
"They do. Oh God, they do." Wei Ying will never get over the first time he saw Lan Chan with a little swarm of first graders begging for his attention, and Lan Chan's soft voice and patient answers. Wei Ying wants 100 children with Lan Chan, with his perfect manners and their joint unerring instinct for trouble.
"I'm loyal."
Lan Chan squeezes his hands, and Wei Ying blinks back tears, unexpected but oddly welcome, dewdrops brimming at the corner of his eyes.
"And I can't think of anything else."
"You are also kind and strong, capable of withstanding great hardship and remaining full of love."
"Lan Chan!"
Wei Ying is crying properly now, silent tears streaming down his cheeks.
"You are the best person I know. I don't care if that's not specific enough. You are."
"Wei Ying is also the best."
Wei Ying sniffles and wipes his nose on the shoulder of his pajama t-shirt. Lan Chan's own nose only wrinkles minutely, despite his clear and present desire to offer to get tissues. "Best boy," Wei Ying thinks again, fondly.
"Okay, experiment over for today. You should take me to bed."
He expects Lan Chan to argue, but he sweeps Wei Ying up immediately. Wei Ying thinks it probably doesn't count as official sex crying if he's already sort of weeping when they start. But there's a weird humming, almost knowledge in the back of his mind telling him that this is close to what it might be like. It feels more accessible now that he knows what it is to have Lan Chan kiss the tears from his face, to kiss Wei Ying with salt-tinged lips. He rubs at Wei Ying's chest questioningly, like when Wei Ying pushes them together sometimes, but Wei Ying shakes his head.
"Let's just be us, as we are, can we?"
It's very quiet and very gentle, Lan Chan's eyes on him the whole time, his face more open than when they normally do this.
"You know you have a dom face, right?" Wei Ying asks, stroking his cheek. "I didn't think about it much before, but now you're just you, the same as you normally are."
The way he normally is with Wei Ying, anyway, his edges soft, his hands always reaching. Lan Chan rolls Wei Ying's balls in his hand, almost contemplative. His other hand is around Wei Ying's cock, just enough pressure and movement to keep him hard and leaking.
Do you not like the dom face?"
Lan Chan's tone is flat, but he starts moving his hand a little faster, still not enough, and Wei Ying's hips buck upwards.
"No, fuck, baby, no, I love it, obviously. It's so hot, it's like 0 to 60 immediately. Sometimes you wear it when you're just annoyed about mislabeled produce or, like, pedagogical ethics, and it's like, Lan Chan, please, it's like I have to drag you off immediately. It's just, fuck, Lan Chan, more. It's just nice that you're into me this way, too, you know?"
"I am into Wei Ying in all of the ways."
"Me too, you, obviously, I'm into you, Lan Chan, please. Baby, you have to give me something more."
Lan Chan nods and licks his lips. It does not take long after that.
"Xie Xie says you need to give us your new address,"
Jiang Cheng says. He's up north visiting her, and his voice sounds echoey and weird in her massive kitchen. Wei Ying can hear the clatter of cooking in the background. Wei Ying has put Jiang Cheng on speakerphone while he washes up, because sometimes it's easier to have something to do with his hands while Jiang Cheng speaks.
"Huh? I don't have a new address, Jiang Cheng. Xie Xie knows that. I wouldn't have moved without telling you guys."
Perhaps he would have once, but things are better now. Jiang Cheng should know that.
Yes you would, dipshit.
Out of the corner of his eye, Weiying sees Lan Chan twitch, flexing his foot. Zhe Zhe says something in the background, and Jiang Cheng huffs, frustrated.
I am telling him. Lan Chan's address, idiot. That address. I know it may seem like old news to you, but...
I've not moved in with Lan Chan.
Weiying's not quite sure why it comes out like a question. He wonders if he should try it again, stronger this time.
Yes, you have. You're literally there right now.
Because he's my boyfriend and it's the weekend, Jiang Cheng. That's not...
You've been there every time we've spoken. When was the last time you even went back to your apartment? You...
There's a rustle and some furious whispering, and then Yanli picks up the phone, all of which takes enough time for Weiying to realize that, actually, he's not entirely sure when he was at the apartment last. Maybe last week? But that was only to pick up another pair of jeans and a couple battered paperbacks so that he could read in the park. It's been weeks since he actually stayed the night there.
Oh, God,
he says indistinctly, just as she picks up the phone. Oh, Aoying, are you all right? Weiying's hands are too wet and soapy to press the speakerphone button. Perhaps Lan Chan has miraculously become deaf in the last 3 minutes. Perhaps he has left the room out of respect for Weiying's privacy. This seems unlikely, given how much time Weiying has dedicated over the years to proving that he doesn't believe in the concept, but still.
I'm fine, Zhe Zhe. Sorry, just, hot water.
Acheng says you haven't moved in with Lan Chan. I'm sorry, Didi. Huaisong was so sure that you had.
Huaisong has been in Milan for 3 months, so Weiying is not exactly sure why his sister is trusting his intel, but he's not about to say that to her.
No, I can see why he thinks that.
But you aren't.
There's something else in Yanli's voice. Not quite a question, a sort of prompting, but Weiying is too busy panicking about Lan Chan to unpick it.
No, we're taking things slow.
Hmm.
A long pause, during which Weiying looks at the deflating bubbles and absolutely nowhere else.
Aying, can I speak to Lan Chan?
Oh, no, you don't need...
Weiying starts, but Lan Chan has stood up, is already there, is picking up the phone and turning speakerphone off and taking it into his bedroom, because Lan Chan likes to have his phone calls in peace. Weiying looks back at the sink and picks up a pan. It's a nice pan. All of Lan Chan's things are nice. And he will miss it when Lan Chan realizes Weiying is weird and claustrophobic to be around and needs his siblings to spell things out for him. Perhaps Zhe Zhe will help him be kind about it. Lan Chan is gone long enough for the water to cool and for Weiying to finish washing up. He's just drying off his hands when Lan Chan walks back in and hands him his phone, the screen still lit up.
Zhe Zhe?
Sorry for disappearing, Aoying. I just wanted to have a little chat with Lan Chan. Given that we haven't had a chance to speak properly since you two got together, you'll have to bring him to the beach house this summer. It will be so lovely to have you both there.
Yeah, of course.
I'll let you go. We'll speak on Monday after Aoling's been put to bed. I love you.
I love you too. Tell Jiang Cheng I said bye.
He listens to the dull throb of silence as Yanli hangs up and turns to face Lan Chan. He's standing close, still, one hand behind his back, the other just touching the hem of Weiying's shirt, gently brushing the fabric.
So,
Weiying starts, before realizing he has no idea what he wants to say.
So,
we are not taking things slow.
It takes a second to remember what he'd said to Jiang Cheng, and Weiying shifts his feet awkwardly.
Well, no, not exactly, but you know what I mean. What was I supposed to say? Wait, what did Zhe Zhe say to you?
Something strange passes over Lan Chan's face, like embarrassment and fear and gratitude all mixed together as one.
She loves you very much. She helped me clarify some things also.
He tingles his fingers more securely in the hem of Weiying's shirt.
Weiying, it would not be moving too fast if you moved in with me. I have wanted to live with you since second year of college.
Lan Chan, you couldn't...
He'd sort of offered, is the thing, but Jiang Cheng had already assumed they'd live together, and Lan Chan had gotten abs in freshman year, and Weiying was already in agony about him and kept having fevered visions of Lan Chan coming out of the shower, dripping wet and half-naked. He would not have survived.
Lan Chan, I was a nightmare during college. You already did so much. You wouldn't have wanted that.
Do not tell me what I wanted.
Lan Chan's voice is flat, iron-flecked, and it sounds a shiver down Weiying's spine.
Lan Chan, you can't get annoyed because you know I think that's sexy and we have to have a serious conversation. Lan Chan, I'm noisy and I forget where I've left things and...
You have been living here for a month. We have been best friends since you were 15. Weiying, I know.
And you're sure? Zhezhe didn't bully you into this?
Your sister may be frightening, but she is not capable of making my decisions for me. I want this for me, Weiying, for both of us.
My apartment does suck, Weiying says contemplatively.
Very much so.
Lan Chan takes a small step closer.
I want to fall asleep with you, Weiying. I want you in my bed in the morning.
It is a sign of how well Lan Chan knows Weiying that he doesn't say he wants to wake up with him. The falling asleep thing is already pushing it.
I want us to build our lives together.
Babies,
Weiying blurts in overwhelmed terror. It's been 3 months. Oh God, what is he saying?
Yes.
Lan Chan blinks and Weiying thinks his eyes might be wet.
Yes, eventually, of course.
I'll move in. I think I may have stealth-moved in already. Sorry about that. Lan Chan, I really love you. Do you know that? I really, really do.
And I you.
Fuck.
Weiying feels jittery with love, like it's boiling under his skin, the rising floods of spring rain.
Lan Chan, I need...
He grabs Lan Chan's shoulders and presses them together, and it's still not enough. He needs to be inside him, filling him up, all the places Weiying doesn't know how to reach. He feels abruptly empty, almost panicking with it, and scrabbles at Lan Chan's front.
I have you.
Lan Chan picks up his hands, holds his wrists.
Weiying, I have you.
He drags Weiying into his bedroom. Their bedroom, Weiying thinks in a dizzying rush, and undresses them both with ruthless efficiency, pushing Weiying back onto the bed.
Sit on my face,
Weiying blurts, mouth bypassing his brain entirely. He blushes bright red, his chest blotchy with it.
No, I meant it. I want it.
He lies back and tries to make the prospect look alluring. Does his profile look weird? Can Lan Chan see too much of his nostrils? He crunches upwards a little and is infinitely glad he does because he gets to watch Lan Chan's slow, predatory crawl up his body. Lan Chan is narrow-hipped, his movement sinuous, and he makes the act of positioning himself just above Weiying's face look almost elegant, his quads stretching beautifully. Weiying's mouth waters and he brings his hands up to Lan Chan's thighs, but Lan Chan slaps them away in two brisk motions.
Hands above your head. I will use your mouth how I see fit.
Weiying moans and flings his arms upwards, tilting his chin to give Lan Chan better access. Lan Chan lowers himself down, hands coming down to hold Weiying's head, giving him complete control over the motions. Lan Chan drags his balls across Weiying's mouth as he moves, and Weiying sticks out his tongue, licks along them, along Lan Chan's perineum and up around his hole as he shifts. Lan Chan's grip tightens, his cock twitching where it lies along Weiying's face. If Weiying can make him come, it will go all over his face, blinding and choking him. Weiying shivers, tongue bumping up alongside Lan Chan's rim. There is little else he can think of wanting now. He gets Lan Chan as wet as he can, feels the smear wash of saliva cover his own face, holds his tongue firm as Lan Chan rides him, fingers white pressure marks on Weiying's face, gasping as Weiying's tongue licks inside. All Lan Chan's low, broken sounds are Weiying's now. Lan Chan's cock is hard. And he adjusts his grip on the back of Weiying's head so that he can grasp his dick in his right hand, his knuckles motion blurred, where Weiying goes cross-eyed, trying to see it all at once. He moans into Lan Chan at the sight, and Lan Chan's hand clenches tighter in his hair. He's dripping onto Weiying's face, so almost exactly what he wants, and Weiying's hips buck up, helpless, his own cock hard against his stomach. Lan Chan doesn't even look around, just bounces his dick against the sharp curve of Weiying's cheekbone, slapping him lightly in the face, and then groans, a sound that travels through his whole body, and comes, slipping backward slightly, mouth an open, yearning twist. He's moving even before Weiying opens his eyes, closed on an instinct he half regrets,
and slides off Weiying, flipping him over in one brusque movement. Weiying goes headfirst into the pillow, the cum on his face smearing over the cotton, rubbing it further into his skin. Sex smell all around him, and he moans, tries to grind his hips into the mattress. The emptiness is back now that Lan Chan has come, now that he can smell him so clearly.
"I need your fingers," he begs. "I need them, Lan Chan, please."
"Slut," Lan Chan says, the word a whip crack across Weiying's back, his whole body hot, cold, electric flush. For a clear, ringing second, Weiying thinks he will come there and then, and he bites his lip, hard, until he can feel his toes again. Lan Chan opens him up, one finger, and then two, and it's not enough, it just isn't.
"More," Weiying whimpers into the pillow. "I need more, I need to be full."
The wheeze squirt of the bottle, and Lan Chan slides two more fingers into Weiying. The sudden stretch, a sharp pain, and holds them there. "You asked for more," Lan Chan says as Weiying whines. Tears are springing to his eyes, but he ignores them. This isn't... they aren't...
"Lan Chan, please, I can't, I can't."
But Lan Chan is already moving his fingers, spreading them out in Weiying, barely brushing his prostate, a torturous flicker of pressure every time he does. He spends a long time moving inside of Weiying, stroking his walls, almost like he's playing, savoring the feeling, until Weiying is squirming on the bed, crying in earnest, little whimpered sobs at every twist of Lan Chan's wrist. He shudders when Lan Chan's thumb circles his rim, tries to wriggle away, but Lan Chan's hand scrapes down his back, clamps around his knee, and will not let go.
"I can't, I really can't, you'll break me."
A shiver at the thought of being torn open for him, red and raw and all his insides bloody and beating. Lan Chan licks in between his own fingers, a hot shock of wet, and Weiying cries out, his voice fracturing apart, the only thing Lan Chan will ever truly break. Lan Chan slips his thumb inside, bunching his fingers to form a fist, solid and immovable inside Weiying. There is nothing he can do. He is utterly taken, utterly filled, Lan Chan pressing against every part of him. The tears are streaming freely, and Weiying turns his head so that Lan Chan can see what he's done to him. It feels so good to be this, just a body full of wanting.
"I can't,"
he says again, even though he already has, just to feel the taste of it, for the way Lan Chan flexes his hand so that it sends juddering spikes of pleasure shooting up Weiying's spine. "Slut," he thinks, thinks it the way Lan Chan had said it, almost fond.
"I think you could take much more,"
Lan Chan says. It would be conversational, almost, were it not for the way Lan Chan has to take huge, measured breaths between every sentence.
"You could take my cock and my fingers at once. Could take my cock and a vibrator. My perfect little hole. My Weiying."
A gasp, the slick sound of skin on wet skin, and Lan Chan's hand spasms inside Weiying, and everything is white and lit up around the edges, firework flash of brilliance, Weiying's cock leaping against his stomach where it is pressed against the mattress, and his heart leaping with it, one final cresting cry as he comes. Lan Chan takes his fist out very slowly, while Weiying is still fluttering through the aftershocks, before it can hurt too much. It feels very odd to be so empty after so much fullness, but Lan Chan is already there, pushing Weiying's thighs together, and fucking between them, spit and trickling lube and sweat easing his way, messy and perfect. His hands grip bruises into Weiying's hips, tethering pain, his chest pressed against Weiying's back, the hard nubs of his nipples rubbing up against Weiying's sensitive skin as he moves. Lan Chan is beyond speech, chasing his own release, but he breathes hot and present into Weiying's ear, each tiny noise resoundingly close. And as he comes, he dips his head and bites at Weiying's shoulder, open-mouthed and shuddering.
"Weiying," he says,
and then again, wonderingly,
"Weiying."
He turns him over and pulls them together, hot clutch of clumsy bodies, and kisses the smudged mess of Weiying's face. Weiying wraps the ends of the haze around himself, lets himself float blissfully as he breathes into Lan Chan's neck, Lan Chan panting against his hair.
Everything is trembling, everything around them still recovering too, and then Weiying draws back slowly. Everything is not trembling. It is only Lan Chan who is shaking hard, his hands clenched into fists on Weiying's back, his jaw set. Hey, Lan Chan, sweet boy, what's wrong, hey? Lan Chan shakes his head and tries to look away. Oh, my perfect boy. Weiying pushes them so that he can lie on top of Lan Chan, elbows propped to look him in the eyes. Lan Chan's eyes are wet, and Weiying swipes a thumb under each one, collecting the tears about to fall. Is it a double success if we both cry? Lan Chan is still shaking so hard underneath him, and Weiying frowns, kisses his tremulous mouth. I'm going to get you some clothes, okay? And me too, so we can be cozy. He pulls the blanket up over Lan Chan as he goes and opens the chest of drawers, grabbing them both hoodies and boxers. Lan Chan grabs at them with numb hands, and Weiying helps him pull them on, slides them both back under the covers. I hurt you, Lan Chan says very quietly, like it's a fact and not the most absurd thing Weiying has ever heard. No, you didn't. Lan Chan, I came so hard. It was so good, baby. You filled me up so good. He feels a little shiver at the thought of it, the ache that is already spreading between his legs. So good, oh my god. Lan Chan shakes his head and Weiying tuts at him, runs one thumb along the line of his collarbone. What's the thing you say to me? You don't get to decide how I feel. It was good, Lan Chan. For me, it was good. If it was bad for you, that's okay, but that's a different thing. Sometimes our bodies feel entirely like each other's, but that's not really true, and Weiying tries to make himself heavy, a physical separate presence on top of Lan Chan. It was good. I liked it. Quietly again, like a secret this time. Good. Weiying keeps running his hands along Lan Chan's chest and sides, a constant reminder that he is there. Is there anything else wrong? It's okay just to feel a bit weird. Lan Chan crooks one eyebrow, a wordless reminder of all the times Weiying has said the complete opposite about himself, and Weiying is so thrilled to see it. That little sign of his Lan Chan that he doesn't even remember to get mad. I love you so much. It spills out of him, as helpless as the tears, as helpless as he has always been for Lan Chan. The crying was so good, Lan Chan, and no plan. Wow, the things that can be accomplished without a plan. It's meant to be teasing, lighthearted, but Lan Chan flinches. Ah. Oh, sweetheart, it's okay that you did it without a plan. It's okay that you wanted to do those things with me. I would have stopped you, okay? I like being surprised. I like not knowing. I like thinking you can do whatever. I like talking about it too, but sometimes I just want to be taken. It's so embarrassing, laying it out like that. But he thinks about the way Lan Chan had said slut, like it was something he wanted to hold close to his chest. Another little label that sits in the pile Weiying has given himself. Another little word to snip at and examine and think about how it sticks to this body of his. A gift, almost, the way Lan Chan had spoken it. I called you. I should not have called you that without talking about it, Lan Chan says, apparently reading his mind and failing utterly to parse the content. Maybe not. But I liked it. I thought I was going to come when you said it, could you tell? You would have been so mad if I'd come then. He smiles at the thought, lascivious, but Lan Chan frowns. Not angry at you. I know. Weiying's voice is as soothing as he can make it, with that image lit up in the back of his mind. I know, baby. A little mad at yourself, yeah? Disappointed. Oof, that's worse. But that was, the least disappointing thing that's ever happened in my life. I promise. I promise, you know I'm so bad at lying to you. You always see straight through it, and I wouldn't anyway. Not now. Lan Chan's face has smoothed out a little, less on the verge of tears, and Weiying smiles down at him, soft. What do you need? Lan Chan opens his arms wordlessly, and Weiying sinks down fully, tucks his face into the crook of Lan Chan's neck,
feels the warmth and the knowledge of him permeate into Lan Chan's bones, his shape finding a settling, a stillness. They fall asleep like that and wake sticky and gross and headachy, Lan Chan ushering them both into the shower. As soon as Wei Ying fuzzes into consciousness, Lan Chan leads them back into the bedroom and they strip off the sheets methodically. And Lan Chan sits down on the mattress protector and holds his hand out. Wei Ying takes it, as he always will.
What do you see?
Lan Chan asks when he's arranged Wei Ying to his liking, propped up against his chest.
Hmm?
When you look at yourself now, what does it make you think?
Wei Ying looks down at himself, at the soft lines of his stomach and hips and thighs. The cut of his hips, the narrow spindle of calf and ankle, skin a little pink from the heat of the shower. Bruises on his hips and his chest, and tucked into his neck, where he can't see. He presses his fingers down, feels the ache, a twin for the one inside him.
Makes me think of you. Makes me think of, what you did to me, what we did together, and that I was the person that happened to in this body, and that it was real.
That is good.
That's the best.
Lan Chan presses his hand over Wei Ying's and, very deliberately, pushes down harder. Wei Ying hisses out through his teeth, and they watch together at the way he blushes, the way his toes curl against the jolt.
It scares me.
Lan Chan says, whispering it into Wei Ying's hair.
How much I want to hurt you. It scares me to think that I could.
In the best ways, though, Lan Chan.
Not always.
He's thinking about the ropes again, about the pale ghost with Wei Ying's face who'd stared up at him, empty-eyed, and not known entirely who he was.
You stopped. You stopped. That's all you could do. If I'd asked you to stop earlier, you would have. You've never hurt me in the ways you're really scared of, Lan Chan. In the ways that I'm scared of, too. You wouldn't.
You trust me.
Another press of his fingers, another flare of perfect present pain.
And you trust me.
Wei Ying runs a hand over his own chest, down to his hips, where the worst of the bruises are.
Two-way street, baby. That's what you said. That's what we promised, isn't it?
Lan Chan huffs out a laugh. The little exhalation that's the closest he gets to giggles.
How did you get so wise, Wei Ying?
By listening to you, Ah Chan. And Zhe Zhe. And Huang De. Mostly Zhe Zhe, if I'm honest.
He grins, wicked and sharp, bites his own lip, looks at Lan Chan with mischief dancing in his eyes.
Lan Chan, tell me something you're scared of. Tell me a thing you want to do to me that you're scared of.
Lan Chan closes his eyes. His hand is still on Wei Ying's neck, and Wei Ying wonders if Lan Chan could meditate like this, with Wei Ying pressed against him, with Wei Ying's mouth on his cock, holding it for him. He wriggles in delight, and Lan Chan opens his eyes, frowns.
I am thinking.
Wei Ying very kindly doesn't point out that he can think and wriggle, just pouts penitently, tipping his head back for the full effect.
I want to surprise you, Lan Chan says, and smiles.
The end.